¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFE Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin and Primo Hector Reyes in the house. ¿Cómo estamos, Primo?
What's up, guys? Let's get over this this draft. I was drinking a draft, watching the draft, everything. There was a draft coming in the window, all kinds of drafts, all draft all day.
Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, it was so drafty. So drafty.
Right. Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, Primo Ricky couldn't make it tonight. He's working at the hospital, probably treating some patients who have experienced too much of a draft.
Right.
And Primo Nico, you are moving into your new place up north. So buena suerte. We're drinking to you. Salud, Primo. Salud.
Yes, sir.
And we couldn't let tonight pass without doing a quickie recap show, kind of like rapid reaction. So
quick hits up. Quick hits on the draft. Yes,
fired up. I'm like writing notes fired and everything up. And everything. Oh man, so everybody make sure you're following us on Twitter at FamiliaFFB. Hector, where are they finding you?
What the heck, two T's.
And you can find me at JorgeMartin17. Make sure you're following our FamiliaFFB.com website as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. So we got all of the stuff, but you know, it was the draft, baby. First round in the books. We got 7 offensive players went before a defensive player went. That was unprecedented. We had 6 Alabama players go in the first round, 5 quarterbacks, 2 running backs, 5 receivers.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
The partridge in the pear tree, maybe Kyle Pitts or something like that.
Right.
And the 49ers did the bait and switch, man. Somebody said, don't play poker with Kyle Shanahan, man. He's got the major poker face.
Yeah, didn't show his hand at all.
Not at all. But, you know, someone who's showing his hand before we get into the draft, Aaron Rodgers, Primo. What Ooh. In the world? ¿Qué pasa?
Ooh,
¿Qué
man, pasa? It's, I feel bad for, you know, Davante Adams. You know, it's just like, man, you know. But hey, at the end of the day, the guys in the league understand business is business. It ain't personal, you know. And it makes you wonder. I was thinking, it makes you wonder, you know, Jordan Love gets drafted. You know, was talking about showing your hand, was Aaron Rodgers, you know, talking last year? You know what I mean? Was he saying things already last year? And because everybody was surprised, like Jordan Love, like why are the Packers drafting a quarterback? Now it makes sense now. Maybe if Aaron Rodgers is, you know, airing out his dirty laundry this year, maybe he did a little bit of it last year too. And maybe the front office there in Green Bay got a little bit spooked. And they picked up Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't seem like if he's going this, you know, if he's all in, you know, using our poker terms, if he's all in, you know, putting the word out there in public, I can't imagine that this is the very first time that he's saying, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm thinking this had to come out last year as well. And that probably had a little something to do with that Jordan Love pick last year. What do you think?
I think it probably started with that one.
Right.
If it
right.
wasn't, you know, maybe there were some question marks that going into that and they picked him. And then all of a sudden it was kind of like that probably just pissed him off and he had the great season. But I think he's just, you know, he's just not forgotten. He is just not forgotten. And I think that's, I don't know. I don't.
It could be both ways. It could be the Jordan Love pick pissed him off. Or he was already pissed off before that, and that's why they picked Jordan Love. So things to think about, man, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm just kind of like, I look at that one and I just think, man, I mean, because we don't know anything about Jordan Love. He could be Patrick Mahomes,
right?
Or he could be Drew Locke.
Yes.
We don't know.
Right.
We don't know. Or he could be
Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler, or he could be Josh Allen in year 2
yes,
when Josh Allen
sure.
was not very good. So no se sabe, no se sabe. But, you know, there was, you know, we kind of talked a little bit on our WhatsApp, where you pointed out, it's that, you know, the big rumor, Mark Schlereth, former great with the Denver Broncos, helped them win a couple of Super Bowls. He went on the air in Denver Sports Talk and said that tonight Aaron Rodgers is going to get traded. So I'm going to keep my news alerts on while we're recording this. We're recording this at 9:30 Pacific time out here on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you never know. If not, I mean, I'll definitely be up updating it on Twitter, but I mean, it's, but yeah, he's going on saying that he's going to get traded. I mean, Mark Schlereth, that's someone who's got inside information at Denver.
Right. Yeah. You're not going to go out on a limb and just make up BS, because that kills your credibility. You know, you don't want to be, especially with such a huge story. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to go out, you know, and stick your neck out and say, hey, this is what's happening. Hey, everybody follow me on Twitter. You know, I got the big scoops. And you know, this is what's going down. You know, Aaron, you know, you don't want to be the kid that cries wolf, because if it turns out that he's wrong with this, then no one's ever going to believe him again. You don't want to be the guy that, you know, puts out the, you know, the big lie story, you know, like the big fake news, like, oh my God, you know, what happened to Mark Schlereth? What happened, Mark Schlereth? You know, you said this is going to happen. You know, we're never going to believe you ever again. So nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to pull out the lie story. So I, you know, if he's putting it out there, if he's sticking his neck out and putting his credibility on the line for a story like this, I would imagine, you know, it's got to be at least a little bit true, right?
There's got to be some. I mean, this is a guy who blocked for Elway.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to follow this one. I mean, it's kind of hard not to speculate on that, because you look at, they've got some great wide receiver talent in Denver. Cortland Sutton coming off the torn ACL, but apparently everything is progressing well with him. Yep. We also have Jerry Jeudy going into year two, which, you know, we've talked about. I love year two players. So I mean, you look at that, you look at that kind of talent. Noah Fant is a really good tight end going into year three. So, you know, it's possible. It's possible. Does Aaron Rodgers do what Drew Lock can't?
Right. And we'll get into, I think you just mentioned Jerry Jeudy. I'm looking at Patrick Surtain, and you know, was it Surtain? Surtain. I always called him Surtain when his dad played.
Yeah. Surtain.
So he's getting reunited with Jerry Jeudy, another, you know, the Alabama connection. We'll get into a little bit more of all the connections, you know, as we get into this. But yeah, that's another connection. You know, Jerry Jeudy, Patrick Surtain getting reunited there in Denver tonight.
Dios mio. You know, I was even gonna wear my Aaron Rodgers jersey tonight. I may wear it tomorrow.
Man, I feel bad for all the, you know, for Go Pack Go, you know, all the cheeseheads out there. If it comes to pass, you know, we got to give it up to Valley Boy John Elway for getting all the future Hall of Famers down there in Denver. He's got Peyton Manning out there. If he can get Aaron Rodgers out there, then you know that's going to be, you know, it's going to be the final destination. You know, right, you know, before these Hall of Fame QBs in their careers, you got to make a pit stop in Denver. You know.
Yeah, or Tampa if you're Brady.
Or Tampa, yes, exactly. Well, you never know. Tom Brady may still make his pit stop in Denver. He's not done yet.
Yeah, you never know, but you never know, Primo. Well, let's get into the draft. So we're only going to talk about the player. I mean, we'll talk quickly about any defensive players, but start up, you know, we knew this was going to be the pick when he won the national championship.
Knew. Yeah, right? people are already paying, you know, but you know, we talked about it on a previous show. Trevor Lawrence and his wife, they had a wedding registry like at Macy's or whatever it was, and you know, folks in Jacksonville were already like buying all their gifts and, you know, shipping it to them. So it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that Jacksonville was picking Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. I mean, and he gave them a gift by putting on the Jaguars cap over that beautiful hair, Fabio football over that beautiful hair. I swear.
Man. Head and shoulders is already like salivating, like, oh man, I'm sure they were already at his house right now, like signing the contract. Their ink's probably not even dry yet.
Oh man. They got him, Troy Polamalu, to add him to Troy Polamalu and Patrick Mahomes. It's going to there's plenty, but no, this is a guy who's got everything. He's got the arm. He's got legs. He's fast. He's tall.
Yeah, he's got all the tools, man.
He has got everything. He's going to be the number one pick in every super flex draft, every super flex dynasty draft. So you just got to love it. I mean, he's incredible. Nothing more needs to be said. I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting, the weapons that they have, because you got DJ Chark, you got Laviska Shenault. They added Marvin Jones this year, and we're going to talk about a player that they added a little bit later. It's he's got some weapons, and the thing is, they did not add to the defense yet. So I think they're going to be in some shootouts this year. I think he's potentially a late round QB, definitely somebody you want to start in two QB and super flex leagues.
For sure. He's got some weapons over there. We'll talk about that. He's definitely got some weapons over there.
Yeah.
Jacksonville. It's going to be fun.
Well, at number two, we got Zach Wilson. He's another guy who is guaranteed to be starting right off the bat because Sam Darnold got traded. So He's got, yep. you know, he it's, I mean, he it's his job. And I mean, God, I mean, he's so fun to watch. He makes so many dazzling plays.
Great hair.
Another guy, great hair.
That's going to be like the standard now. Like when they go into like the combine, it's like, well, let's check their hair.
It's like, yeah, exactly. You got to be good looking.
Hand measurements and then like hair is like on the bottom of the list. Like it's going to be on there for that one.
Yeah, you got to be good looking. You got to have great hair and you got to have yep. a beautiful girlfriend. So it's just like all those things. But I mean, this is a guy who went 33-3 TDs, INTs. He had a 73% completion rate. Now, everybody talked about the fact that BYU didn't play anybody. But I mean, this guy, you still got to make the plays. And I mean, he's been compared to Patrick Mahomes and to Aaron Rodgers for some of the playmaking ability. To me, I'm not going hog wild for him because his wider, to me, the way I'm looking at the board, his top wide receiver is Corey Davis. And
right.
I just don't like that.
You know, he's definitely got talent, but you know, as we've been talking about the Philadelphia Eagles for the last couple of years now, like who's catching the football? You know, who are his weapons? So that's, you know, we'll have to wait and see. We'll see if maybe they can pick some, you know, fill out the roster over round two, round three at the draft, the Jets. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I would love to see him, you know, with some weapons around him. The guy's definitely talented. I definitely want to see him succeed. And, you know, the only way he's going to succeed is if people are catching his passes.
Yeah, they've got plenty of picks coming up. I mean, they had a second first round pick. I think they have two second round picks. So they're gonna get some guys around him. I mean, they still need to, you know, beef up the offensive line. Right. I really liked what some of the flashes that I saw from Denzel Mims last year. But again, there is no, you know, there's nobody like a DeAndre Hopkins or a Davante Adams or a Stephon right. Diggs. There's no right. hombre out there.
Yeah, so there's no diamond in the rough waiting to be picked.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I'm like not totally excited about him. And I'm not right. as excited as Trevor Lawrence. The other thing is Wilson does not run as much as Lawrence does. So,
right.
That one we're going to see. That one, vamos a ver. I don't know about that one yet. I definitely two QBs, but I'm not looking at anything. Definitely not looking at him as a starter, or even, I don't know if I'd put him on my bench.
Wow. At least to start the season, maybe if he does anything magical, you know, you can pick him up off waivers, but not to start.
Possible. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or you know, he could be a guy that you play
like plug and play for bye weeks and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Bye weeks or
matchups,
you know, matchups against the bad defenses or something like that. If that's at home. So we'll see on that one.
Yep.
Number three pick. That's really where the draft started.
And you guys owe me a couple of beers.
Aquí está. Aquí está. That's that's you. Me and Nico owe you beers. Nico's got to go to Russian River and get you a Pliny the Elder. Elder or younger? So
I'll take both. Thanks.
One of each.
Nico. I'll take one of each.
I mean, you called this pick. What did you love about him?
I mean, what was it? He went how many passes before he finally threw a pick? The guy's just, I mean, he's just cerebral. You can tell the guy's just he was made to play quarterback, and he's just, you know, determined. And I think they were mentioning it. You know, I've been kind of following him coming up to the draft, and you know, he was, you know, coming up. You know, different coaches were like, yeah, we want you to play, you know, linebacker. We want you to play tight end. We want you to, you know, do this, do that, the other, you know, play corner. And he's like, no, man, like I'm a quarterback. Like, no, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to play quarterback. And, you know, he didn't get a lot of, you know, there wasn't a lot of confidence in him, you know, playing QB, but he's like, no, this is what I'm going to do. And he came out and he showed out, man. The guy just, he just blew it out, you know, in, you know, over there at North Dakota State. And he just showed everybody, and he played, I think, 17 games, and the Niners, you know, they scooped him up third overall in this draft. So that definitely says something. Obviously I haven't seen as much film as the Niners have and done all the research that the Niners have, but you know, I had a gut, my gut said that this is going to be the guy. And, you know, the Niners, they followed my lead, and it was, I put it out in the ether, and the Niners said, yep, this is our guy.
Yeah, I heard him about a few days ago. He got interviewed by Rich Eisen, And I swear, I felt like I was listening to Russell Wilson 10 years ago. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like he was composed. He was confident. He just sounded like a winner. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. and I mean, you know, there's only so much you can get from that. But, you know, I've listened to enough interviews in my lifetime to know who is, you know, who's got the it factor. And this guy had the it factor. He really struck me as just an exceptional, you know, human being. And I mean, everything you heard about, you know, teammates talking about his work ethic. I mean, he may have the strongest arm of all of the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I just think the fact that Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers just, I mean, they had us all thinking Mac Jones. They had the whole city of San Francisco going nuts, ready to burn the place down. And they got Lance. Now the interesting part is, when does he start? He's 20 years old. He played one game last year. So do you play, I mean, and Jimmy Garoppolo, you're still paying him like $20 million this year. How, you know, do you start him? I think they start with Jimmy Garoppolo. And if it's not working out by, you know, midway through the season, I think they're going to switch.
Yeah. Kind of like what the Chargers did last year with Justin Herbert, right?
Well, I think they'll keep the needles away from Jimmy G.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of a raw deal last year, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it could be comparable to what the Dolphins did with Tua.
Yeah, true.
Tua, I think it was week 7. He came in at the end, and then during the bye week, they decided that they were going to make the change over to him. I could see something like that, or maybe just, you know, have it be kind of like a redshirt year for him.
Yeah, yeah. Just learn. Just, you know, absorb, learn, take notes, watch, and just, you know, be ready. Yeah, yeah. I see big things coming for Trey Lance for sure.
No, he's, you know, just incredible. Just incredible. I think that, honestly, even though I really wanted to see Fields here, because I think Fields is, you know, at this point is a better player. Mm-hmm. I think Lance is the guy who could take that big step. And he's been, I've comped him to Steve McNair. I've heard other people comp him to Josh Allen, which, you know, it took Josh Allen a couple years and then the third year to make that jump.
I mean, it's a giant jump from college to NFL. It's a massive jump. And, you know, kudos to those quarterbacks that can come in their rookie year and excel. But it's not an easy step at all. You know, it's not unreasonable to, you know, to watch a guy come in and, you know, completely crap the bed. Ed is rookie year. There's, you know, that's okay, you know, because that's kind of almost like, you know, 20 years ago, that was expected, you know, like 20 years ago, you know, a rookie playing, you know, starting a game, like you're crazy, you know, no, you know, give him a clipboard and have him, you know, take notes for a year or two or three, and then he'll be ready. You know, that's what it was back in the day. And these days it's like, okay, you're a rookie, you know, 1 year removed from being a rookie. Okay, man, here's our playbook. You're starting game one, like, whoa, you know, so it's not an easy step. So, but you know, I wouldn't expect Trey Lance to come in and, you know, plug and play right away. And you know, if he did it, you know, kudos to him. If he succeeded, even better. But, you know, to sit there behind Jimmy G and learn and absorb, you know, that's only going to help him and the Niners.
The interesting thing is, you know, we talked about Steve McNair. Steve McNair sat for 2 years before taking over as a starter. So
exactly.
You know, and you had Aaron Rodgers who sat for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So you look at him and it's just like, okay, let's be patient. He is 20 years old, but he's got a world of talent. And it looks like he's got a lot of intelligence. The other thing, you know, he apparently had some interest from Ivy League schools when he was coming out of high school. So
wow,
again, you know, just you know just an exceptional human being. So I think hopefully you know, it's tough being a Ram fan to think that they got themselves a long-term quarterback. It's a little bit scary, but and I know you don't love Kyle Shanahan calling plays in the playoffs, but
we've spoken ad nauseum on my feelings of Kyle Shanahan and his two epic collapses in Super Bowls, but you know, he gets it done during the season. Can't say he doesn't.
Well, what about the guys who are the guy who is on the Falcons, the team that for which Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator and the biggest Super Bowl meltdown of all time. Kyle Pitts. I wanted to spike a football when Pitts got picked there. I was so happy. You know, just a couple days ago, I posted an article on why it made all the sense in the world to take Pitts at number four for the Falcons.
I felt so smart.
But Primo, I mean, I know you love Kyle Pitts. You got me.
6'6". That's all you need to know. You know, 6'6", wide receiver speed. You know, they were talking about it today on ESPN as well. It's like, man, when this guy's up to renew his contract, he's not going to be asking for, you know, tight end money. He's going to be, you know, I'm a weapon. You know, you can't classify what I am, receiver, tight end, pay me weapon money. Cause this guy's just going to light up the league. It's kind of cliche to throw out the term like freakish athlete or whatever, but this one fits. I mean, Jesus, this guy's just—he's like a—it's like a power forward. He's like bigger than LeBron, I think. 6'6". He's just like a beast, and he's quick and he's fast and great hands. It's like I'm with you. I think this is a great pick. Matty Ice is going to be throwing all kinds of stuff to my man Kyle Pitts. He's going to be scoring a lot. So as far as fantasy goes, you know, we'll throw that one around. Like, where do you think he ends up, Kyle Pitts? I think right off the bat, he's plug and play. Matty Ice is going to be throwing a lot to this big, wide target. I think he's going to definitely get some scores today. Where do you see this guy, George? I mean, obviously he's going to be treated, you know, like a wide receiver. I think, you know, being that he's a tight end, you have folks that have flex leagues that where you can, you know, use your flex pick for TE/ wide receiver. Then you have leagues where it's like TE only. So that's going to kind of handcuff some folks in those leagues. But in our league, we have a flex spot where it's, you know, tight end slash receiver. So do you think this guy's, you know, still on the board after the third round, maybe second round?
I think he'll start coming off, maybe third round, fourth round. Yeah. So I'm thinking about the guys that I'd pick. You know, you're definitely picking Kelce, Kittle, and Waller.
Right.
So beforehand.
But then again, like I said, in a league where you have a flex position, mm-hmm. where you don't have to, you know, you don't have to use a TE spot, you could pick up Kelce and Pitts, right?
Theoretically, you
can get both of those guys, you know, in a league like ours. So
yeah, but then, you know, but the thing is that the leagues that have a tight end. That have the tight end slot, he becomes a lot more valuable because I mentioned those three guys. TJ Hawkinson's going to probably go off before him, and maybe even Mark Andrews over in Baltimore. Mm-hmm, after mm-hmm. that, I don't know who I'm taking before Kyle Pitts. Right. I really don't in a redraft
league. How about Gesicki? You like
Gesicki? I still take I like Gesicki a lot, but I still I think I'm gonna like Pitts better. Just because of what the Dolphins did, you know, have done in free agency and did in a couple picks, not Pitts. But this guy, he's such a super freak. I mean, almost 250 pounds and running the 40 and 4.4. I mean, just incredible. Just incredible. This is like Calvin Johnson, Megatron type of.
Hey, man, I like you just called him super freak. That might be, you know, you might have to trademark that, George. You know, you're going to start putting it out there, man. Put the feelers out and see if maybe that one sticks, because I think I like that term for Kyle Pitts, man. Super freak. I like that.
Yeah, though I have to work with the Rick James estate to get the patent.
There you go.
But I love this guy. The next pick, I got to tell you, I didn't love it. I didn't love Jamar Chase. I love the player, the Bengals. To me, they had a choice, a stud mm-hmm. wide receiver or a stud mm-hmm. protector. They took the receiver. They took the receiver. And this is the guy. I mean, to me, there's nothing to dislike about Jamar Chase. You know, maybe you're a little worried about him not playing last year, but you know, 2 years ago in 2019, he had a season that was pretty much on a par with what Devonta Smith did last year and won the Heisman.
Right.
And now he's, and he did that with Justin Jefferson also having a great season. And then what did Justin Jefferson do, Primo?
Boom.
Yeah. Rookie, you know, the runner up to the offensive rookie of the year because Justin Herbert, but Justin Herbert did what he did, but Chase is a phenomenal route runner. Great athleticism, physical. I mean, there's nothing to dislike about him. I just worry about Joe Burrow.
No, sure. It almost looks to me, or it seems to me, that the Bengals have an end game here. You know, they have something up their sleeve. They're thinking that, you know, in round two, round three, they have a diamond in the rough guy. They have someone that maybe no one else is looking at, someone that they think is going to beef up that offensive line. They have to. I mean, I would have to, you know, they can't just ignore the fact that, you know, their guy just got beat to hell and is now injured because of that, you know. So they have to have a game plan to beef up that protection for Joe Burrow. So and on the same token, we'll talk about, you know, reunions. You know, Ja'Marr Chase, you know, he's out of he and Joe Burrow are reunited, right? And it feels so good.
And it feels so good.
So I think there's something to that. I mean, there's a few teams that went that route, you know, in this draft. You know, there's maybe a comfort zone that they, you know, they're putting their quarterbacks in, you know, with route runners that the quarterbacks are used to. And maybe there's something more to that hasn't been maybe utilized in the past. You know, I know, you know, what was it? Sam Bradford was connected over at Oklahoma. He at one point on the Rams, he had a wide receiver, or one of the teams he was on, he had a wide receiver that he had played in college with as well. Yep. There was that connection. So, you know, we haven't really seen too much of it, but this year just seems like there was several teams that went that route and reunited quarterbacks with receivers and stuff like that, and running backs, just to maybe build up a little bit of comfort level and to maybe take that route. So that, I think that may play into, because this is kind of a head scratcher. I would have thought that the Bengals also would have gone with an offensive lineman to protect Burrow, but instead they went with, you know, a little familiarity there and gave him a buddy.
Yeah, this one was Burrow was interviewed by Chris Collinsworth, so icon in Cincinnati.
Sure.
And so Burrow even mentioned himself that Chase is one of his best friends.
Sure.
And that they communicate regularly, and it really sounded like Burrow was banging the drum for Ja'Marr Chase. But, you know, I still, you know, have, to me, the two ugliest injuries from last year were Dak Prescott's broken ankle and you know, when Joe Burrow got ragdolled by the Washington defense and shredded his knee. You need to protect the king. I mean, and even Chris Collinsworth himself, when he did his mock draft, he pointed out that the greatest player in Cincinnati Bengals history is Anthony Munoz. Raza, pura raza. You know, and a left tackle. So you look at him and you want to protect him. This is a deep class. So, you know, it is round one. So you're looking at the fact that it's, you know, maybe it's not going to be, you know, he's not a guy. Maybe they're still going to continue to go pick and grab somebody else in the later round. So, you know, there are still quite a few good players out there, and they've got an early pick in the second round. So maybe they go get their, you know, another tackle or another offensive lineman. They do have two tackles right now. One of them with the possibility of sliding inside to the guard position. Yeah. So hopefully if they feel like the drop off was larger from Chase to the other wide receivers, as it was from Sewell to the other tackles, then maybe that was from our friend Yasmin Quintana, who's borderline a Bengals insider. So, so we'll see that, but another reunited, and it feels so good. Jalen Waddle to the Dolphins, reunited with Tua. I mean, Oh, primo, did you see the highlights on this guy?
Yes. He's Tyreek Hill 2.0, right?
Dios mio, just, I mean,
it's fat. Really, I didn't realize. I mean, this is the first time I'd seen kind of like a highlight reel on him, but geez, he's fast, man. I didn't realize. He's just burning guys left and right. I was like, wow, man, this guy's no joke.
Incredible acceleration, but also great change of direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quick. And just, I mean, that's the thing that makes Tyreek Hill different. I mean, people talk so much about, you know, Mecole Hardman being Tyreek Hill 2.0. No, he does not have the change of direction, the suddenness, the quick movement. No, he does not. Jalen Waddle has some of that. I'm not going to call him that, but all of a sudden you've got this offense with Will Fuller, Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki, and now you add Jalen Waddle to that.
Yes. Ooh. And you have Tua, another year of Tua healing up from his injury, and man, it's ready to rock.
No, I think it's going to be, I think Tua is ready to take a jump. And it's with these guys being, you know, I could see Jalen Waddle being like this year's Justin Jefferson. I'm really tempted to call him that off the bat.
And again, it's a reunion. So Tua's already been comfortable passing to Waddle, right? So, you know, that's who you lean on. You lean on familiarity. You lean on your comfort zone. Absolutely. So that's your, if you've already been throwing to Waddle before, you know, you got to imagine that that's just, you know, that may be, you know, he's going through his progressions back there in the pocket. You know, Waddle might be, you know, even though he's the rookie, he may be, you know, one or two in the progression.
Yeah. Well, the next pick is not a fantasy football pick, but maybe there's some ramifications to it. Penei Sewell going to the Lions. So all of a sudden now you've got him solidifying an offensive line. And, you know, the Lions are not going to be a talented team. They still don't have a good wide receiver group. They may have the worst wide receiver group in the NFL. Right. So they should be looking at picking up some guys in the second round. But if you have a great offensive line, you have a chance. You need to protect Jared Goff. Jared Goff does not do well when he's not protected. So it's going to help him. And I think this is going to help DeAndre Swift too. So you set your foundation from, you know, on the offensive line, and then you add around that. So I love this pick. Absolutely love this pick.
Oh, definitely. I see the Lions probably going, you know, target heavy, you know, as far as wide receiver targets. Tomorrow, I think they you know, you said it, their wide receiver core right now is thin at best, right? So yeah, they definitely gotta pick up some pass catchers in round two and three for sure.
Yeah, the Lions pass catchers are thin, like the next receiver we're going to talk about. The next two picks were defensive backs, J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain, going to the Panthers and the Broncos, respectively. So we're not going to talk too much about them because they don't, you know, they don't help in fantasy, even though Surtain is there to try and combat Mahomes and Herbert. But, you know, we're talking about thin. Devontae Smith, you know, he's 166 pounds, but man, this guy's just a ball player. But for me, the most shocking part about this, not that Devontae Smith got picked, but it was the fact that the Eagles and the Cowboys made a trade.
Right.
Ay,
right.
Ay, ay, ¿qué pasó?
It's, you know, in other words, it's COVID, man.
Exactly. I'm like,
you know, anything goes, man. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Anything goes, man.
Next thing I know, my dog Dino is going to be making friends with cats and squirrels around them. It's like the neighborhood.
It's like the Red Sox and the Yankees making deals, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I love Devontae Smith, and it's another reunion.
Who doesn't? I mean, this guy's just reunion, exactly, just like you said.
Reunion with Jalen Hurts, the Alabama boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I look at him, his route running, his precise, his precision, his talent. He's you know, even for a guy his size, he's great with 50-50 balls. He's a physical receiver. We'll see what happens at the next level where he's playing NFL DBs. But, you know, he's playing against NFL DBs in the SEC. So I'm kind of excited about him. I think he's another guy who has a chance to take a big step forward in his rookie season because of the fact that really the only other option is Jalen Reagor.
Right, exactly. No, he's gonna usurp that role, I think. You know, he reminds me a lot of DeSean Jackson, you know, and he's going to the Eagles too. So it's almost like DeSean Jackson 2.0, man. He kind of resembles him, and watching the game film, the guy's, he's as quick as his, I see him, I'm just like, man, this guy's like, he's like a young DeSean Jackson. And if he can, you know, pull off and do some of the things that DeSean Jackson has done in his career, man, Devontae Smith is in for a very, very good career.
He's always open. It's just, he's always open. It's incredible. So at number 11, the Bears traded up with the Giants. And I got up and this may have been my favorite pick of the first round.
Boom.
Cause I love me some Justin Fields. I kind of felt like he was a guy that I really had in the conversation at number two with Zach Wilson.
Oh yeah, sure.
And he
sure.
goes at 11 to the Bears, who have needed a quarterback since Jim McMahon in the 80s.
Yeah,
this is 85. Just cannot love this pick anymore. I mean, this is a guy. He's big. He's physical. He plays big in big games, as we all saw against Clemson in the national championship semifinals. Played in the Midwest, so he knows how to play in weather. And he plays hurt. I mean, God, I watched the film of all of his plays during that game against Clemson. And I saw the play where he took the hit and I'm like, I don't see how this guy came back. And not only did he come back, he came back and threw 6 touchdowns in that game. This guy was a bad man. And I'm like, if he could do that, he could take the Bears to another level. I don't know if it'll be this year, but at some point, I love this pick. I love this pick.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, just watching what Justin Fields did in the championship game, and the guy is just, he's full of confidence. He's full of talent. And yeah, I can't wait to see what he does with Chicago. I'm with you. I remember the 85 Bears, William Refrigerator Perry, Walter Payton, Jim McMahon. And yeah, that's the last time that I can remember that the Bears had, a good quarterback, a star quarterback. They've been to the Super Bowl before, but, they've never had, a memorable quarterback, maybe until now. So I don't want to, put the cart before the horse, but, I'm confident that Justin Field is, he's going to do a great job there in Chicago.
No, I'm pumped up about that one. I even tweeted at Liz Losa and Andy Behrens, both famed Bears fans and Yahoo fantasy football experts. And Andy Behrens gave me a big like on that one. So that was kind of cool. So the Cowboys traded out because it looked like they got usurped for, they got punked, lack of a better term, for the defensive back. So they went and got Micah Parsons, good linebacker, doesn't do anything for fantasy. So we're not going to, but other than the fact that it makes their defense better. So I don't know if, they're going to be in as many shootouts. So we'll see.
Right.
But the next one, Primo Ricci, I know, is dancing and kicking up his heels.
On the ceiling like Lionel Richie.
Yep. Rashawn Slater. They needed a left tackle. They needed a bad man. They needed a dog, and they got that. He's now protecting Justin Herbert's blind side, and I was so pumped about that one. So that's did you see his tie?
Yeah, that was cool. He had a cool suit on, the blue and the checkers, and that was kind of neat. I didn't see that. Like, I didn't get a close up of the tie. Was it something cool?
It was powder blue, just like their home uniforms.
Yes. I thought maybe there was like a design on it or something. But yeah, his whole suit was cool, man. It was like the blue. And so yeah, it worked out because the color he was wearing, it was Charger color. So that was kind of prescient, as they say.
Yes, very much. Very much. He knew what was coming. What was coming. Next pick, we had Elijah Vera Tucker go to the Jets, another offensive lineman out of USC. Our familia Trojan fans, so they came out. But the Jets needed help. They grabbed Mekhi Becton in the draft last year, so they really needed to continue to beef up their offensive line to give Zach Wilson the time and everything. Yeah, I mean, I saw the stat that only he'd given up only 5 sacks in 927 pass attempts in his career. So that is pretty stellar.
That's the real deal. That's a real number right there, man. Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
That's no joke in the Pac-12. Yeah. Joke in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
All right. So the guy that for a month now everybody thought was number 3, and even Vegas had him as a pick, Mike Jones to the Patriots.
Done.
How'd you feel about that one, Primo?
Oh, I like it. I mean, Mac Jones, watch it again. I thought it was pretty cool to watch all the highlight reels at all these guys and just watching them back there. The guys, he's just throwing dimes. This is, great vision, great accuracy, TD to INTs 41-4. So yeah, he's definitely got what it takes, As if anyone knows, the Patriots, they're very all about business. They're not going to, take any flyer picks. They're not going to, take big chances. If they make a pick, it's because they know what they really want, and they've done their research and their homework and crunched all the numbers. And if they're picking Mac Jones, even at 15, it's a super value pick too on top of that. But they, you know, the guy is, he's going to fit in just right with the Patriots. I mean, he's all about business. He's a, you know, he's going to be, you know, back there. He's a pocket passer, you know, just what the Patriots do on, you know, that's kind of how they run things. That's what they do over there, you know, with what he was doing at Alabama. So with Nick Saban, it's a great fit.
No, it's incredible. Though the funny thing is that somebody put up on Twitter and sent me a photo of side-by-side photos of Tom Brady at the combine and then Mac Jones after they won the national championship. And, you know, not a lot of definition in the upper body. It was like, oh, my God, get that guy in the weight room. Please, please, vamonos. Not exactly a six pack going on. So so I'm just sitting there. I'm like, all right, someone get this guy going. But to me, the other big thing that before we move on is just the mentioning the connection of Belichick and Saban. Yes. Close friends, confidants with each other. And so, you know, that Saban's going to, if Belichick is going to take a Saban guy, it's because he got the seal of approval from Saban.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
He's going to
like got the inside information on top of that too.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Oh yeah. So we'll see what happens there. I think that one's going to be interesting because obviously they have Cam as the incumbent.
Sure.
So, you know, does he sit for a year, you know, or if Cam struggles, do they bring in Jones after the fact? You know, it's the thing is, we know that the Boston media is going to, and the fans are going to start asking for Mac Jones the first time that Cam Newton loses. So, the good thing is Belichick, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about that stuff. So he just wants to win.
Exactly.
All right. So we had linebacker Zaven Collins go to the Cardinals. And then at number 17, we had Alex Leatherwood tackled to the Raiders after what they did to their offensive line, which is basically give everybody their walking papers, pretty much all of the starters. Mm-hmm. I think they kept one guy, you know, bringing in this guy. You know, there were some people saying that it was a bit of a reach, but you know, he did start 41 of his 48 games, career games at Alabama. So that says something to me. That's playing NFL football.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we'll see. Well, you know, going down to number 20, because we had defensive players go at 18 to the Jalen Phillips going to the an edge rusher going to the Dolphins, Miami players staying home, and Jamin Davis, linebacker going to Washington, which is significant because Ron Rivera was a linebacker during his days with the Bears. But at number 20, the Giants took Kadarius Toney, and a lot of people had, you know, people like Devontae Smith and those guys comped to the Giants, and to get the next guy. You know, you had that top three of Chase, Smith, and Waddle, but a lot of people had Tony as the next guy, and to get him at number 20, I thought that was a great pickup, and they picked up some extra picks from the Bears along the way.
Sure. Now, I haven't heard too much about this guy. I mean, he's coming out of Florida, and obviously all the talk has, you know, out of Florida has been Kyle Pitts. I haven't really heard too much about Kadarius Toney.
He's definitely a good wide receiver prospect, excellent wide receiver prospect. Ran the 40 in 4.37, so he's really good. During the broadcast, they compared him to Chad Johnson, which I thought was really good. Just the way, you know, kind of like not a big guy, but just really smooth, you know, guy with good change of direction. I mean, just I was watching some film on him earlier today, and I was just like, okay, this guy's impressive. This guy is going to be a ball player at this level. You know, this is another weapon for Daniel Jones. You know, you now they added Kenny Golladay, you added Tony, now you had Darius Slayton. Yeah, I mean,
now it's starting to take shape now, man. Like Voltron, like all the pieces are kind of coming together. Like, wait a minute, like the receiver core over there with the Giants is looking kind of impressive now, right?
Now, and I think it's all up to Daniel Jones to make something work. It's all up to him.
They gave him the tools. They're now building the house.
Yeah, I think they still need to add to the offensive line, but there will be some linemen that are still there in the second and third rounds. So we're going to see on that one. The Giants are a team I'm keeping an eye on because early on I was looking at Daniel Jones as a guy who could take that next step. So we're going to see if that's time for him. Yeah. You know, jumping down number 23, you know, we had a left tackle Christian Darrisaw go to the Vikings in the trade with the Jets. So, you know, a lot of draft experts saw, you know, Darrisaw as right behind Slater. In fact, in the LA Times, they did a story where they were expecting that Slater was going to be gone. So they were looking at Darrisaw as being the guy that the Chargers were going to draft
to
left tackle. But here's a guy, he's going to be opening up holes for Dalvin Cook, and Kirk Cousins is going to, you know, try and give Kirk Cousins extra time to throw passes. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. That's going to be good for the Vikings offense for sure.
So at number 24, Najee Harris, running back to the Steelers. You ready to get another Harris? You were the one with the jerseys. Talk exactly. to me. They got me.
Right. Well, yeah, there's already all the Steelers fans wearing Franco Harris jerseys, right? So now they're all going to be buying Najee Harris jerseys. So, yeah, it's, I mean, this guy, you know, Najee Harris coming out of Alabama, you know, running backs, you know, Alabama's, you know, they're like, it's like a running back factory, man. If you're a Bama running back, you know, you're going to be a stud in the NFL. Najee Harris is the first running back taken off the board. And, you know, we've talked about it previously. You know, the Steelers really need help in at the running back, right? So this was a perfect fit. I mean, it was, you know, once it came down, you know, towards the, you know, middle of the first round, I think it was kind of a given that, you know, Najee Harris was kind of gonna fit in nicely with the Steelers pick. So it wasn't really a big surprise that they scooped him up. They need running back help. He's a perfect fit there. He's big, strong. He's going to do great things there in Pittsburgh.
And, you know, it's funny, you know, you talked about Franco Harris, and I wonder, I'm kind of curious what number he's going to wear.
It's funny. I was thinking the same thing.
If he wears like 22 or if he wears 33, you know, you see the name Harris on there, because obviously he's not going to wear number 32, because I think that number's retired.
Right, right. Yeah, I think he probably retired that too, for sure.
Yeah, for a Hall of Famer. But
immaculate reception.
You know, they pointed out that, you know, he was similar size. And I will say just a little aside, back probably about 10 years ago, I was at the Dodgers press box, Dodger Stadium press box, and all of a sudden I'm walking and I look up and I'm like, holy crap, Franco Harris. I'm like, what are you doing at Dodger Stadium? What are you doing? I'm like, I go up and I shake his hand. I'm like, I'm a big fan. He goes, oh, thank you. So really nice guy. But just totally out of the blue. He wasn't making an appearance. He was just hanging out in the back of the press box. Cool. So I guess he was somebody's guest or something like that.
Come hang out in the press box. Hey, that's so cool.
Incredible player. You know, he was 6'2", 230, just like Najee Harris. So it's really curious. So I think it was a great pick for Pittsburgh. They also are another team that's in need of offensive line help. But the other thing that Harris did was he created the over, because last week we talked about it, 0.5 for over under for running backs taken in the first round.
Yes.
With his pick, he took the over.
So nice.
That was a good one. That was a good one. But you know, the thing about Najee Harris, I mean, he had more rushing yards in his career than Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram, two Heisman Trophy winners. So that tells you how
good this impressive. Guy. That's pretty tells impressive. You
how good this guy is.
Yeah.
So at number 25. To me, I was just like, this is one that made me go, ooh, wee, ay, 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 que esto me hizo cosa. Travis Etienne, running back, picked by the Jaguars. I know that Urban Meyer loves speed. I know he loves competition, but wow. You know, it's like, I mean, is this kicking James Robinson to the curb?
Ah, man, this just, like you said, me da cosa, right? If you're a fantasy owner, this has to be a headache, you know, because James Robinson was a stud last year. And, you know, you're probably thinking like, where am I going to fit him into my lineup next year? And now with Etienne, it just kind of messes everything up. Cause now how's it going to be? Is it going to be, Dobbins and Mark Ingram 2.0 again? Like, who's going to start? Who's not going to start? Who should I pick? Who, you know, should I pick them? Should I wait? Like, what's the real value here? And again, we have no idea. Who's it going to be? You know, and again, because it's Urban Meyer, you know, that he's a quote unquote college guy. Is he going to lean more on, you know, the guy fresh out of college in Etienne? You know what I mean? Like, who knows? You know, we have no idea. You know, Urban Meyer's kind of been out of the NFL for quite a while now. So it's like, what's he going to do? It's a gigantic question mark. It's a headache. You know, I don't know. I don't, you know, where both of these guys end up. That obviously that they both take a hit from a fantasy standpoint, because you just, right now we have no idea how that's going to go.
To me, the big thing is you're taking a running back in the first round. You're not picking him in the first round to sit him. So right. You're going to play the guy. So I'm looking at him. I think he's got quick feet. He may have the quickest feet of anybody in any running back in the draft. Maybe Michael Carter and Chuba Hubbard or other guys that are in the same conversation. But Meyer does love speed. And so we're looking at this. I mean, you said it. It's going to be a headache, and it sucks for people who have James Robinson in dynasty leagues, just because of the fact that, you know, you thought you had a gem, and now you know, it's
super value last year. I mean, he went undrafted in a lot of drafts last year. He went undrafted, and you know, people that got him, like, oh man, I got the greatest value. This is so cool. And now it's like, oh my God, what is this? Like, what do I have? What do I really have now?
Yeah. Like, I really wanted to see Etienne go to the Falcons, because I thought he would be able to go into a great situation as a starter. Mm-hmm. Now this is kind of a little cloudy. So
yeah, but it's a reunion thing again. We're going back to that theme. There's a lot of that. That's, for whatever reason, it seems like a lot of that was happening this year. This reunion. You know, we got Etienne and Fabio Football getting back together, you know, with Trevor Lawrence. So it's, you know, the Clemson connection. So a lot of that going on, and there, like I said, maybe a familiarity or a comfort factor that, you know, GMs were interested in for whatever reason this year.
It could be. You know, I do give big ups also to Clemson, the Clemson University's Twitter, where they called out Peaches and Herb, and they put in there reunited, and it feels so good.
Yeah,
and I think it was Rich Eisen was just like, man, none of those kids actually know who Peaches and Herb are. So
that's awesome.
We're gonna see. So the last player that we're going to talk about, because this end of the first round was kind of like the antithesis of the beginning of the first round, with only one, you know, offensive player in the, you know, from picks 26 to 32, and that was Rashad Bateman going to the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the highlight reel was spectacular with him. Fast, incredible athleticism. He caught some high point balls that were just, you know, incredible. But to me, the thing that worries me is volume. You know, the Ravens threw only 406 passes as a team in 2020, and that was last in the league by 36.
Wow.
I mean, I don't want to discount Lamar Jackson possibly taking a step forward as a passer and maybe getting more balls. I mean, I'd love to see him throw like 450 to 500 passes, but I mean, you know, they clearly needed something there. Maybe this is something to kind of unlock the passing game a little bit more.
What's the reason, you know, for such a low volume of pass attempts? You know what I'm saying? Is it because, is that the way that they structured the offense? Because taking a wide receiver first round, obviously what they're saying there is we want to pass more, right? You know, that we want another target that we can throw to, because we want Lamar Jackson to be able to throw more. So I think this only bodes well for the Ravens offense. Obviously, this should mean more pass attempts for Lamar, and hopefully it ends up in, you know, a lot more success.
Or he just funnels everything to Hollywood Brown, Bateman, and Andrews. Mm-hmm. Maybe a few things to the running backs, but yeah, I look at this one. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I don't know if I'm there yet that they're going to open up the offense a little more. And part of the reason why they run the ball so much is because they run the ball so well.
Right.
So
because, you know, he's, I mean, he, the guy won the MVP. So you have to respect the fact that he may just, you know, he's dropping back and next thing you know, he may just take off and get 30 yards. So yeah, it keeps defenses on their toes a little bit, but at the same time, you know, they throw up schemes too, to, you know, to make it difficult for him to find the open receivers.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, you know, we're not going to jump out just yet because Eric Stokes getting picked by the Packers, you know, there was the talk, you know, are they going to pick a wide receiver in the first round just to give to give Rodgers a reason to stick around? They went defensive back, which they clearly needed because mm-hmm. Kevin King got smoked in the playoffs, and that was the difference.
There was the difference.
But I think they're going to be an interesting team to keep an eye on in the second round because you've got a lot of, you know, still a lot of receivers up on the board.
And let's see if Aaron Rodgers is on the Packers tomorrow. Yeah.
By the time everybody downloads this, are you going to be, is it going to be, is he going to be
well, will he be a Bronco by the time people are listening to this?
So. Oh God, I hope not. I just,
it just sounds weird, man.
It does.
Aaron Rodgers is on the, you know, Denver Bronco, Aaron Rodgers. It just doesn't sound right, man.
It does. But then again, you know, Peyton Manning as a Bronco was weird and they won a Super Bowl. So
Brett Favre went to Minnesota.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And the Jets.
And the Jets, right? Yeah. So, hey, it happens. Hey, you know, yeah. It's business. It's not personal.
Well, the thing I love, you know, day two is coming. And the thing I love about day two is, like, that's when the running backs really start coming off the board. You still got Javonte Williams. Where is he going to end up? I think there's a possibility he ends up at the Jets. I think there's a good I don't think he makes it past the Falcons in the second round. The Falcons, who I think picked fourth in the second round. You know, and there's some other running backs that, you know, that if they go in the right situation could fall into some carries. There's going to be some wide receivers going. Maybe some of those quarterbacks like Kellen Mond, Davis Mills, and more offensive linemen. You know, we're going to look at, we'll see, do the Rams grab a center? What do the Chargers do? This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. I love the draft. anything you're looking forward to in the next, tomorrow, especially tomorrow?
Not really. Yeah, to be honest with you, this is the first time that I've actually like sat down and watched the draft like beginning to end. I thought it was really cool. You know, you generally I'll be like listening to it, or you know, I'll be doing doing something else or whatever. But I was like really like tuned in and really like intent on just like paying attention and focusing, and I thought it was really cool, man. I thought there was a lot of great information, a lot of great research to do, and you know, to make notes, because you know, yeah, obviously now I'm gotta be ready for fantasy drafts coming next year and for breaking down info and stats. So I'm looking forward. That's more than what I'm looking forward to, is just what the picks are and to be able to break them down. Okay, what did this team need and what did that team need? So that's more where I'm at, just overall researching and how different picks helped different teams and where does that put them? Because one thing I'm looking at is once this draft is over, I'm going to be in Vegas in two weeks. And I'm already looking at, you know, you talked about, you know, who is it? Miami. And I think I'm looking at Miami maybe for what the line is for their wins for over under. Because, man, based on what they're doing, you called it, you know, earlier you mentioned that this might be Miami's, you know, year that they make it, you know, time for Miami to make a jump. And I'm going to do some research and figure out what the over under is on wins for this season. Cause if it's kind of on the lower end, you know, they may be this year's a Carolina. Last year I picked Carolina to go over five wins and I think they hit it, right?
I think they ended up, I think they got six.
I think they got six. So that's, you know, I was all over that pick. Although I didn't bet it cause I was scared, but I think this year, this year's Carolina, maybe Miami, if their over under for win totals is kind of, you know, mediocre or kind of around the lower end, I think that might be a good pick to take the over on wins for Miami this year.
Actually, Carolina was 5-11, so they ended up right on the number.
Oh, okay, so then that would have been
a push.
Okay,
it was a push, but you know, Miami finished with 10 wins last year, so you know, could they go over because of the improvements that they made to the team?
Yeah,
you know, and what's going to be the over under for wins for the Jaguars? That's another interesting one.
Yeah, definitely.
And to me, I think the one that's going to be interesting is the Chargers. What's going to be their over under? You know, you've got the stud quarterback. I mean, yes. It's and you
got a new left tackle.
Yeah, you got a new left tackle. You've got an all-world receiver in Keenan Allen. I mean, you've got so many parts coming back, and if you get some health on the defensive side, I mean, what are they?
Great running game as well, yeah, right? It's like everything's coming together for the Chargers, man. So yeah, their over under line is going to be kind of up there, because it's a 17 game season, right? So it's going to be a little,
yep,
little up there, maybe 12, maybe 11. We'll see
what. And what is what are the Jaguars? You know, what's their number going to be? Jumping mm-hmm. from one win? Are people going to say, you know, are they going to win four or five games this
exactly.
year?
Exactly.
That one's funny.
Man. I might have to throw just like a couple of bucks down there, you know, on the over, just, you know, because you never know, man. You know, Fabio Football, Trevor Lawrence may just come out as, you know, blow the doors off, you know, just like Justin Herbert did, you know, just like Justin Herbert did. And just, you know, put up 13 wins, or, you know what I mean? Like, so we'll see. I'll have some fun with some bets when I'm in Vegas in a couple of weeks.
Hey, you know, says I don't think he's going to get 13 wins. Maybe 13 wins over the two seasons or something like that. But
you never know.
Oh God, if he does that. But no, I look at that. No, that one's an interesting one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, just you know, what's going to happen in the NFC East? Are teams going to actually have winning records over there? So, you know, fired up, baby, fired up. I mean, we got several more rounds to go. We got two more days of the NFL draft. I mean, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Vamos a ver. And you know, everybody, that's just todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out in the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe, leave us a review, tell us how much you love the podcast. Please give us 5 stars and find original content at FamiliaFFB.com. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB. Hector, ¿dónde te hallamos?
What the heck? 2 T's.
You can find me at JorgeMartin17. Remember, come on our Familia FFB Facebook page. Remember, we're Familia FFB. We are, you know, fantasy football con sabor latino. So,
sabor latino. Sabor a mí.
Oh, yes, baby. So, everybody enjoy the next few rounds, the next 2 days worth of the NFL draft. Now we can, you know, by the time our next episode, we'll be hitting our first anniversary, Cinco de Mayo. And we'll also be able to really start spending the next 4 months getting everybody ready for their drafts. Maybe some dynasty stuff, but definitely getting ready for redraft season. So,
yeah.
Gracias, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adiós, amigos. Salud.